Welcome to the PIO Podcast, a forum for all things public information related for police, fire, EMS, and local government. A place to grow and develop your public information skills. I am your host, Robert Tornaveni. I have over 11 years of experience as a PIO and 27 years as a law enforcement officer. I am proud to announce that we have partnered with the PIO Toolkit to expand and grow the podcast. Thank you to Christine Townsend and Law Publications for this amazing opportunity. To contact the show, email robert@piotoolkit.com. We need your feedback on how we're doing. Please rate us on whatever platform you listen or send us a review via email. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast to get notified of the latest episodes. Thank you for listening. Sit back and enjoy the next episode. Good afternoon. Today on the PIO Podcast, we have Megan Terlecki. She is the PIO for the Mesa County Sheriff's Office in Grand Junction, Colorado. Megan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
I really appreciate you coming on last minute. It's been a really interesting month for me. I've had to travel for interviews, and I have some great news. I was hired in Colorado Springs, and really exciting. And I got to move out there now, so I got to get an apartment and all kinds of fun stuff.
Congratulations. Welcome to Colorado. As you can see, it's a beautiful place.
I know. I'm looking forward to it. I was out there several years back, but I was kind of traveling through, so I didn't get a chance to enjoy it. And then I did some training up in Denver, and I didn't really count that as all that fun because I was stuck in training. I didn't even get to travel up into the mountains. As a matter of fact, my experience was May 1st, we had like 12 inches of snow.
That'll happen.
And so that was an experience. And then it was gone like the next day, which was amazing. All right. But I want to talk about you. That's why you're on the show. So Megan, you are what we call a recovering journalist.
Yes.
In the field. How did you make the transition from being a journalist to the PIO at Mesa County?
Well, you know, it's funny. The sheriff who hired me, he's since retired, but he used to joke that he put me on a 12-step program, a recovering journalist program. I was a news anchor and reporter in television for about 10 years and just decided I was done with the news industry, moving around, wearing the fake eyelashes, looking to have a meaningful career where I could just stay in one place and build some roots and build a life. And I'd left Colorado. And I saw that the opportunity for this job to the information and communications manager, the PIO for the sheriff's office in Grand Junction, Colorado, opened up. And I said, why not? And several months later, I was packed up all my stuff and moved back here. And it's been a fun journey. It's been 6 years now since I took this job.
Excellent. So it's not uncommon for journalists to come into the PIO field. It's kind of like an interesting evolution. They don't pay you guys all that great in some markets, which makes it very hard to live. And I know this from experience. My daughter is a executive digital producer with an NBC station in Wisconsin. And she was making, when she first started out, she was making less than what people were making at McDonald's. So, you know, she has all these loans from Mizzou and, you know, very tough to try and live on that. And I keep telling her, I said, maybe you should, she likes crime. I said, maybe you should go into the law enforcement end of it and you'll be a little better off, but she doesn't have an interest in it yet. So, but one day, exactly. But since it's not uncommon, what did you find challenging to becoming a PIO at the sheriff's office from the journalism background?
You know, you talked about it, recovering journalist, right? There's this stigma that because my background was journalism, that I'm somehow still secretly a part of their team. And I think that's something that any civilian or any former journalist coming into, especially a law enforcement agency, has to overcome. You have to build that trust again and show people not only what you can do for them and help them with their investigations from a public standpoint, but what you can do for them as an overall organization. And a lot of that just takes time. right? You have to spend that time learning the organization, learning the people, learning what they do. It's very easy for a former journalist to come in and just rear and to go. But really, you have to take that time to build the trust, not only with your community, because that's essentially what you're there to do, but also with the people that you work with and you're going to be speaking for.
So were you going around just walking into roll calls, going to different...
Making a lot of cookies, pies.
I'm not much of a baker. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah. Bringing in goodies, you know, hanging out with people and having a good time there. I was really lucky that this position had historically been filled by a civilian. So the idea of having a non-sworn officer in this position was not brand new. It was just, I was the brand new person.
Okay.
So I spent a lot of time doing a lot of ride-alongs. As much as you can have that learning process of just kind of keeping the status quo and going to the different divisions and having different people that you can have connecting with, right? As you start working in the agency, it's almost like you have your own beat where you're digging for stories like a journalist was. You have to have your contacts in each individual department, your go-to people, if you will, right? There's a couple of guys on patrol who will always be really good at sending me some great pictures. You know, there's some investigators who will give me a heads up on, hey, I got this great case that we just went to warrant on, so you can start writing a press release. It's just about building those relationships.
Right,
so then eventually everybody will come to you and you just do your thing, getting the message out to the community.
Excellent. So let me ask you this. How big of an agency is the sheriff's office? And what's the population in the range of the size of the county?
So we are about 250 employees. That includes sworn staff as well as the detention facility that we run because we're a sheriff's office. Mesa County is actually the largest municipality or urban area between Denver and Salt Lake. We're right on the Utah border. We're about 170,000 people, but we're concentrated in kind of a small area, but we also have a lot of Bureau of Land Management land, U.S. Forest Service land, the Colorado River runs right through us. So part of our responsibilities at the sheriff's office is we have a rural area deputy team. So they have big trucks, they have boats. We go to the far reaches of our beautiful area that people love to recreate in. And we do provide law enforcement, search and rescue services. And something that's kind of unique to Colorado too, is that sheriff's offices are actually statutorily responsible for fighting fires. So we have our own fire team as well.
Oh, wow.
And mostly the fires that we do are the big wildfires that you see in mostly rural areas, hopefully. But that's the fun hat that I get to wear too. So I get to talk about river rescue, fire safety. If we have a large fire in the area, I'm involved in all of that too. So I get best of both worlds.
One of my fire colleagues and somebody I interviewed earlier last year said that the hardest work you'll ever do is to be a PIO in a fire area during a forest fire. He said he did that. He went out and did that as part of training. And he said he had a new respect for the amount of work that those guys do.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. And I am a shop of one. It's just myself. But I do have some people who fill in for me when they occasionally do let me have some time off. But really, I have a network of people here in our community. I rely on the other communication professionals, and we meet regularly. We meet monthly, sometimes more than that, because we know that when a big fire happens or when the incident happens, it's impossible to do it just by yourself.
Right.
You have to have that team of individuals that you know, that you've trained with, that you've worked with, that can just step right in and help get that information out.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, is how many people are in your group, but that's typical for a lot of agencies, one, maybe two at the most, and it's all on you. So you're running all the social, you're running your press releases, are you handling the website too?
Yep. Handling the website.
Okay.
I help with recruitment, doing a lot of community events.
Okay.
We do a lot of community events, especially rounding Police Week. And we do a lot of fundraising activities in the community for Special Olympics. So we do a lot, and yeah, it all it all falls on me, but it's fun. It's a fun challenge to be able to juggle all of that.
And is Grand Junction large enough a community to have its own police department, or is it just a sheriff's department?
Yeah. So there's also the Grand Junction Police Department. We have a few bedroom communities too, Palisade and Fruita, that also have their own police departments as well.
Okay. So you're not just handling all those municipalities. They have their own people to handle that as well.
Yes. Excellent. Yes, they do.
All right. So like every law enforcement agency over the last 2 years with what happened in the pandemic, they've had to change the way they were doing things for a while. People were doing virtual or agencies just flat out stopped doing connections or trying to reach out to their community. How did you change how you connected with the community and what were the challenges involved in that?
Luckily, we had already done a lot of community outreach and connections with our community in that digital space. So we have a really large Facebook presence. That's where our community is. And Instagram, as well as Nextdoor. Neighbors has a great platform that we really started using. So we were already in these places where community members knew how to find us. And so when the pandemic started, when the lockdowns began, we were able to put up videos right away and help answer those questions and just start having dialogues with people. We didn't hold any virtual meetings, but what we did do is answer a lot of questions on social media. I even enlisted a few other people to help once we were getting those rolling in and getting that big volume. And I think that all of the work that we did leading up to it, establishing ourselves as a source of information on Facebook and social media and on our website, really helped because the community knew where to find the information. I think that's the thing with social media that people forget about, is that it's not just about posting fun pictures. It's about creating a place and muscle memory for your community members to know where to find that information if there's an emergency, and just establishing that. We are a young news media market. We're a very very small news market. So most of our television journalists are just right out of school. They make mistakes. Okay. There's a lot of learning that happens. So I'm a little bit of a teacher when it comes to that, but our community knows that, okay, well, if they see it on the news, they're going to actually come to the sheriff's office to get the full story, to get all of the facts. And that's a wonderful position that we find ourselves in.
So you become the news agency in reality for your department. And because you've had this ability to build those connections, when the pandemic hit, it was just natural for you to keep doing what you were doing right. I mean, I think that's where a lot of agencies that I've seen struggle during the pandemic had problems, is they had never really had a presence on social. And then when, you know, we went to not being able to physically come in contact with people, you know, in meetings and having big group meetings, they didn't have the presence to be able to push it out there and have people pay attention.
Yeah. I mean, it's been extraordinarily helpful. I mean, during the pandemic too, we had, at the time, the state's largest wildfire in our community. Thankfully it was in a more rural area and didn't impact neighborhoods. But it impacted our daily lives with all of the smoke and the worry that it could potentially come into a populated area. And so we had those channels already established. So when the fire information crew came in with the type one team that came in to do all of the information, we were able to then reshare it on all of our channels that people were already going to for information and increase that activity a little bit more. I will say what's extraordinarily helpful when you're posting on social media is having a two-way conversation. That's the nice thing about social media, is that people can ask a question and you can respond to them. You can give them information right away, whether it's they send you a private message or it's just a comment string that you're directly engaging with those people. We have a lot of community groups, Facebook community groups within our jurisdiction. So little neighborhoods have developed their own platform where they're having these mm-hmm. conversations back and forth, whether it's a lost and found group that's in the thousands of members or a very community specific group. So Facebook will actually let you as a page, as a sheriff's office, join those groups. So I can jump on there as the sheriff's office and give people those information. So, you know, a lot of rumors that start on social media, like, oh my gosh, there's smoke, what's going on? Or, oh, yeah. I see a lot of cop cars. What's happening? Am I safe? Are my kids safe? I can jump on there very easily and start getting them information, you know, post information to our page, just like I normally would, but I can take it a step further and add that level of engagement. Sometimes people will even tag us to say, hey, we know you're out there. If you haven't seen this already, tell us what's going on.
They know you're listening, which is really important, because if you weren't listening, they know it's just going to fall on empty ears. And I know there are agencies out there that don't really respond, and they're losing that valuable back and forth that's necessary to stop disinformation and to calm people down, I guess, in a simpler context.
Yeah, okay. I can be really helpful.
That's great. And I know every community has their what's happening here or what's really mm-hmm. happening. And there's always one of those pages somewhere and there's always somebody running it. So it's great that we can jump on there. Are you using any software to monitor that stuff? Or is it just simply you're just paying attention to it via Facebook and so on?
I'm just paying attention. I know there's software out there. Some of it can be really expensive. And especially if you've got a multitude of different platforms, programs like Sprout Social and Hootsuite, I've heard from colleagues are really helpful, but we don't have that many different platforms where we're posting multiple things that are different to. And so I've been managing it mostly myself, but I do know that if we were to have a very large scale incident where things start blowing up and getting bigger and bigger, it's going to get to a point where I can't manage it myself. And so I actually do have colleagues with the fire department and with our local police department who have access to my social media so that they can jump in and help me in a joint information system to be able to echo those messages in those platforms. If this situation gets to the point where, you know, I can't be everywhere at once. I can't answer the phone, send out emails and post on social media all at once. But there are people who I work with and we've done training together. And so I have a level of trust with them that they can help me just as much as I can help them should they have an incident.
And that's great. I mean, everybody has to have someone that can pop in and help them. And for many years, I think a lot of PIOs were afraid to do that, or municipalities were afraid to do that. And I think now the realization is you need to have those connections with those different people in the community that you can trust that will jump in.
Yeah. And I think it's a mind's perspective. I mean, you gotta change your perspective on the way you look at your job. You know, when I was a journalist, it was my story. I had to get it. If I didn't jump on it, somebody else would, and you would lose the opportunity to advance your career. In the public information world, you need to think the exact opposite. Yes, you yourself are capable of doing it by yourself, but that's not necessarily the best way to do it. Bringing more people in who aren't under the pressure of that situation, have the room and the space to think, what are we missing? And having those extra people there actually, I think, makes you a better communicator and a better leader. But it's the hardest thing to do is to be able to let go and delegate.
Yes. Yep. And I will say this, having an extra pair of eyes on something you write is really important because, you know, if you never pass a press release off to somebody and say, hey, can you read this and see if it makes sense? You're never going to know that you put in that somebody was cut with a pair of scissors versus stabbed with a pair of scissors or something simple like that, but it changes the whole dynamic.
Yeah. I mean, there are people I'm sure in, every agency and department that can help you with that, right? There's got to be some type of professional, whether it be some of your record staff or a really good report writer, one of your investigators, or even if there's an administrative assistant, there are people who have those writing skills that can be that second eye. And like you said, if they don't know anything about the case, they might be a good person to look at it to say, wait a second, what do you mean by cut? Should it be stabbed? You know, they can kind of help you with that too and take a step back.
Right. Exactly. All right. So you've been a PIO there over 6 years. And what changes would you have, what changes have you seen which have positively impacted your job? And then I'll add to that after that. So go ahead.
Oh man. You know, it's, I think my job has evolved over I've been here. Before it was very reactive, waiting for media to come ask me questions. And now I actually spend most of my time not talking with media, but instead talking directly to community members, whether it's writing stories or producing videos to tell our agency's story or putting together some community events or community outreach, you know, thinking bigger and broader on how do I reach those people who need to hear this message. You know, it's easy to put out a social media post about, hey, there's a scam that's going around. But truly, typically the people who are affected the most by scams aren't on social media.
Yep.
So instead, we're creating posters and we're putting them up at the point of sale of gift cards, because that's really popular with sales. We're putting them up at pharmacies, at doctor's offices. We're trying to think a little bit more outside the box to say, okay, I can communicate a little, you know, what's happening, what's going on with the agency, but what can I do to maybe help with the preventative side of things? You know, pulling on developing marketing campaigns around crime prevention, to see if there's some things that I can do to help move the needle in terms of some of the crimes that we're seeing in our community.
All right. So on the other side, what has negatively impacted your job?
Well, I can do more. So let's do more.
Yes. Right? Do more there's with always, less. Yeah.
Yeah. There's always some great ideas that are out there. And it comes to a point where you have to say, okay, I'm only one person. I need to prioritize. But it's finding ways to find people and tap into people within the agency, to say, okay, well, you know, I can't, maybe this person is has a specialty that they can help me with, and we can partner, you know, build more people within the organization, that can help do little aspects of it. Because as soon as you say PIO, everyone thinks, oh my gosh, I have to talk to the media and go on camera. And that's very scary. Nobody likes to do that. If they do, they're probably already a PIO. Right. And so finding different ways where people can help. We're starting to reach out to actual marketing companies or videographers outside. You know, if there's a little extra space in the budget, maybe that's a good decision to help with a recruitment campaign.
Right. Excellent. And you know what I found is very helpful is if you've got a college around that may have a journalism department or something where they can, you can bring some interns in to help, that's always beneficial as well.
Yeah, it definitely is. We're lucky that we do have a university here in town, and they've been able to help supply us quite a few interns and not just in my office, but throughout our entire agency too.
Excellent. Okay. If you could change something about being a PIO, what would it be?
Ooh, that's a tough one. You know, I really like what I do. I think if I were king for a day, it would be great to have everybody within the agency understand what you do. Because I think that's probably a big, they think, oh, she just posts on social media, right? Or, oh, okay. But people don't realize that those relationships that you build and those, the community goodwill that you build may be the difference between your community having a horrible riot and getting destroyed or not.
Yep.
It's a big piece, and I would love to be able to integrate what I do and community and relationship and trust building a lot more into the overall organization of any, whether public safety, it's public safety, fire, or even just a regular business. I mean, building your brand and your culture and internal communications and outreach, that should be just as important as a finance person.
Yep, absolutely. And the bosses all need to know what you're doing. Yep, that would be great. All right, so what advice would you have for someone who wants to get involved in the public information officer field?
Make friends. I mean, I would say one of the things, I was nervous when I left news to come over here because this was a job I've never done. I'd covered law enforcement and fires and liked that world, but I never actually done the job. But I knew that in Mesa County, there was a very robust group It's called MCCOA. It's the Mesa County Communication Officers Association. And it's a group of people just like myself who come together to train and support one another, which is very different than what you would find in the news world. So I knew that there was that support system there or people I could reach out to help. So that made that taking the job much easier. And then actually doing the job, it made it even more easy because I don't have a marketing background. My background's more crisis communication. And so when I need to do marketing, there are people I can reach out to say, okay, how do I do this? Who are the best people to call? And not only do I have that organization on a county level in our community, so I know who those people are to call on to help me, but I also have that as a part of the state. There's a state organization just like that too. And then there's a national organization, NIOA, which I know you've been to some of their trainings.
Yep.
That is the best that there is. You get to hear from the PIOs who dealt with the largest incidents in the country, how they did it, what worked, what didn't, and take notes. And then you can call them.
Yep. Absolutely. And you can call them and ask them, hey, what do you think? You know?
Yeah.
It is important. I do have to say that networking from NOA, we met there, I don't know, that 3 years ago, I think that was.
Yeah, a couple years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, if any of our listeners have not been a member of the NOA and gone to the conference, you need to go to the conference. It's a good experience. All right, Megan, let's lighten this up a little bit. Let's go to some rapid fire questions. What is a favorite activity for you?
Ooh, I don't know if you can see my beautiful pictures behind me, but hiking, paddleboarding, biking, running with my dog, anything outside.
Nice. Chocolate or vanilla?
Oh, I'm not gonna choose. I would never want to choose.
You want both?
Both. I want both. Yeah, always both.
The twist. Okay. what is a must-read book in your mind?
You know, anything fantasy. Anything that does not have to do with work. I love to just read and read and read and read to just take my mind off of the day to day and give yourself a break.
Excellent. Well, you know what? And self-help or self-care is so important in what we do. If you don't take the time away for yourself to regenerate yourself, you're going to have a really tough time. If you could have coffee with a historic figure living or dead, who would it be?
That's a tough one. I'd love to do several. I think probably on the top of my list would be Oprah.
Okay.
Because she started, like I started, as a reporter, and it is now a business mogul. Oh, I would love to pick her brain on how she did it, how she went through all of those steps to create the empire that she has now and the amount of influence that she has.
Yeah. And I was just listening to Elon Musk on a TED Talk. TED Talk Daily today, talking about the Twitter takeover or the attempt to take over Twitter. And he is such an interesting guy and so intelligent. It's just mind-boggling. Favorite drink of choice?
Coffee.
Okay. With cream or black?
Oh, it's black. Black.
Okay. What would be your superpower if you could get one?
Hermione's time turner.
Wait, what is that?
Hermione, Harry Potter.
Oh, right? Okay.
She had a time turner.
Yeah.
More time, right? We all want more time. More time to complete projects, more time to spend with the family and to go on adventures. That's what I would pick.
That's a different one. I haven't heard that one yet. Somebody of you guys are coming up with some great answers for that question. So awesome. All right, final thoughts. Anything you'd like to add?
You know, this is a great profession and I really enjoy what I do. And I think most of that reason why is because of people like you, right? People like you and people, my colleagues, that's what really makes this profession meaningful. And I think gets more people coming back to it.
And I think it's awesome. It's the greatest field in the world for me. It's always been fun. It's great to meet people. And I love getting out in the community and talking. So why not? I mean, it is a great field. How can people reach out to you if they want to connect or learn more?
You're welcome to email me at the sheriff's office, or you can reach out to me on LinkedIn or Twitter.
Okay. And I will put all those in the show notes so people can find them. Megan, thank you very much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast to get notified of the latest episode. If you are listening on a platform that allows reviews, please give us a review. We appreciate any review, good or bad. It helps us improve on each episode. Until next time, be safe.